Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and it is my pleasure to look at some of life challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. I'm glad that you've turned your dial to CFRA. I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. Today's program is aired in memory of Nina Mayorova. What a wonderful way to honor Nina's memory. Thank you for doing that. This morning, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 13 and 14, and I want to talk to you about when God leads. The year was 1989, and I had been the pastor at Bruce Mines Wesleyan Church for about 4 years. I was married for 2 years, and I was starting to get the sense that it might be time for us to leave the ministry at Bruce Mines. My wife Linda and I were praying about it, and first Linda and then I had the sense that God had a ministry in Ottawa that he wanted us to do. So in January, I let the church in Bruce Mines know that our time of ministry in Bruce Mines was coming to an end. One of the curious things about the Wesleyan Church is that when ministers move, they all move around the same time, the third week of July. What that means is that usually if people are going to resign, they resign in February or March. And I knew the pastor at Sunnyside to say hi. I had no idea whether or not he had planned to resign. He had no idea that we felt led to Ottawa. But I resigned because we felt like God was leading us away from Bruce Mines to Ottawa. But as February passed into March and March passed, the pastor at Sunnyside didn't resign. He wondered if we'd heard from God wrong. We wondered if we got it wrong. Then we heard that the pastor at Sunnyside did resign, but Sunnyside never called, and they never called. And we wondered if we got it wrong. So I went and interviewed at a Wesleyan church in the London area, Brethren Christ Church in the Kitchener area. And we thought, well, maybe we got it wrong. Maybe we heard from God wrong. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like God was leading you and then you felt like you got it wrong? Well, as it turned out, Sunnyside did call us, and they were going to call three people, but when they interviewed me and I preached on a Sunday, they decided to take a chance on a 27-year-old, and we ended up moving to Ottawa, and I've now been at Sunnyside for 25 years. I like to tell that story because at least it turned out okay. There have been other times when I thought I was following God, what God wanted, and I got it wrong. I often struggle with God's leading. Sometimes I want God to lead, and he seems to be silent. Sometimes I think that God might be leading me, but he has directed me in a path where I don't want to go. Sometimes I think that God wants to lead me, and I'm too deaf to hear. I think some of you may struggle with the leading of God as well. One of the things that I found that helps is to know God's ways and how he leads. When you know that, it makes it easier to spot his leading. This morning, I want to take you to Exodus chapter 13. Here's the backstory. God sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh would not, so God sent plague upon plague. And after the 10th plague, Pharaoh finally said, "Go." And in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, it reads, "When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine country, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle." Exodus is not kidding when he says that God did not take them the shortest route. Instead of going in a straight line, their route on a map looks more like a capital V. Now, the shortest route to the Promised Land was through Philistine territory. Now, over subsequent years, God would help his people to defeat the Philistines many times. He could have helped them defeat them this time, too. But the Israelites didn't know this. They didn't know that God could help them win battles. They had been slaves for the last 400 years. God said, if these people have to go into war right away, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So God led them, but he led them the long way around. God's ultimate plan for the Hebrew people was to get them to the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God's plan to get them was to get them to a good place. God's plan was to lead them to freedom. God was not so much interested in accomplishing his plan with efficiency. He was much more interested in that his plans and purposes were accomplished. Here's what you need to know about God. God is much more interested in seeing his plans and purposes fulfilled than he is about efficiency. What that means is that God takes into account your frailty, your lack of faith, your lack of knowledge. He takes all these things into account when he leads you. God knew that his people were going to have to fight a war to get into the Promised Land. He knew that they were not ready to trust him to fight on their behalf. He knew that they needed time to develop faith. So he gave it to them by having them take the long way around. And did they take the long way around? It was a long, long way, but it was not wasted time. It was in that long way around that they learned about God. It was on the way that they received the Ten Commandments. It was on the way where they saw the power of God at work on their behalf. It was on the way where they needed to make a choice again and again to follow God. There are some of you who feel like life is taking you the long way around. Maybe you've signed up for a university program and felt like it was the right way to go, but then it doesn't work out. There's some of you who felt like it's taking you a long time to get to where you want to be, to where you need to be. I want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he is interested in fulfilling that purpose. But efficiency is not his top value. That you learn to follow him, that you learn to trust him, that you learn about him on the journey is his way. God does not waste time. And even though you may feel the journey is inefficient, God does not waste time. He has you on a journey. Maybe it's not the most direct journey, but it is the journey that you need to be on. We're going to reflect on that as we listen to Chris Tomlin sing All the Way My Savior Leads.
My Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? How could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. And cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You of his blood.
Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 reads, "The Lord went ahead of the Israelites. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night." It was like a supernatural GPS system. And my, there are times in my life when I wish God's leading was so obvious. Yeah. At your next decision, Brent, take a right. I don't know about you, but God's leading is not usually this obvious to me. But it's helpful for us to know that the people of God were certain about being led by God, because when we come to chapter 14, it says in chapter 14, verse 1, "Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp at Phinehathroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness." And it goes on to say, "I have planned this in order to display my glory through the Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Lord has been leading his people with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But now what does the Lord say? "Turn back and camp." I drive a motorcycle, and if I'm leading a pack of bikers and we have to turn around and go back to the place where we just passed, I think, my leadership hasn't been very good. I feel like I've made a mistake. So when God says, turn back and camp back at the place where you just came by, well, it feels like either he got it wrong or I was following wrong, but we tend to see the life through the lens of efficiency. God is quite okay with saying, okay, you followed me well, now turn around. That just doesn't make sense to us. But God has a purpose. He says, I am going to show my glory. I am going to let the Egyptians know that I am the Lord. So what I want you to do is camp at the edge of the sea in the middle of the wilderness. In other words, I want you to go in the opposite direction that I have been leading you, and you're going to camp at a place that is indefensible and a place that's unescapable, but I have a plan. I am going to show my glory. I just want to say that unless you are sure that you are following God, this does not make sense. But if you are following God, this does not seem all that abnormal. God sometimes calls us to turn around. Sometimes following God is hard. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But God's purposes are always good. Exodus 14, verse 5 says, "When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind. "What have we done letting all these Israelite slaves get away?" they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariots and called up his troops, and he took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, even each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with his fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces of Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore. So imagine you're the Israelites. You've just escaped from slavery in Egypt. God has led you to a place that is indefensible and unescapable, and you see on the horizon of the wilderness this dust storm. A massive army of 600-plus chariots are bearing down on you. What are you going to feel? Well, you're going to feel, like, terrified. And that's what happened. Verse 10 of Exodus 14 says, "As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, 'Why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you that this would happen while we're still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves in Egypt. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" Well, God has delivered them, and God has led them, and this is their response. "I would condemn them, except they sound an awful lot like me sometimes. I know God's purposes are good, and yet I find myself between a rock and a hard place sometimes. Panic, questions, condemnation of myself, of others. It's not the response of faith, but it is the response of those who need to grow in faith. Remember that these people had been enslaved for their entire lives, and their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents had been enslaved. Their responses are the response of a slave. And God is in the process of delivering them not only from slavery, but from their addiction to slavery. He wants to show his people that he is stronger than what has conquered them. He wants to let them know that he is strong and that he is on their side. When you're in the middle of a situation that is tempted to make you panic, and it looks like you're just about to be overwhelmed, it's helpful to have a person of faith around to reassure you. Listen to what Moses says to the people, verse 13. "But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" I think Exodus 14:14 is a verse to be memorized. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Those are good words to remember when you find yourself in the wilderness. It's a good words to remember when your apparent doom is approaching and your escapes are blocked. Of course, all the while people are complaining to Moses, Moses is crying out to God. Even people of faith cry out to God. I love God's response in verse 15. He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get up and move.'" You know, there is a time to stop praying and a time to get moving. There's a time to pray, and there is a time to move, and it takes wisdom to know which is which. Well, the story goes on in Exodus 14, verse 21. "Then Moses, as God had told him, raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened a path in the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptian and all Pharaoh's chariots and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from a pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. 'Let's get out of here, away from the Israelites,' the Egyptians shouted. 'The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt.' When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and the chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the waters rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. The people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like walls on both sides. It goes on to say in verse 31, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Following the leading of God is an exercise of faith. I know that for me, sometimes assumptions get in the way of faith. If we're following God, God should take us the most efficient way to do something. But sometimes God takes the long way around. If we're following God, then we should never have to backtrack. But sometimes it is in the backtracking that the greatest lessons are learned. If we are following God, then we should be safe. And that's true in the big picture. But during some snapshots and times, it looks like you're in a place that's both indefensible and unescapable. But just because you are there doesn't mean that God hasn't led you there. When you're tempted to panic, remember, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. There is a time to pray, and there is a time to move. Listen for God's wisdom. Use God's wisdom. And it takes faith to stand there. You may see inklings of God working, but he still needs to come through. But God does come through. But the only way to develop faith is to walk through situations that need faith. What about you? Where do you find yourself in the story? Maybe you're still in Egypt or walking through the wilderness and you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Or maybe you have seen his delivery. God in this story was intent on delivering his people from slavery. He was intent on delivering them from the addiction to slavery. He was intent on accomplishing his purposes. And sometimes that made the people really uncomfortable. But his intents and his purposes have not changed. I know that God wants to lead you into freedom. It is sometimes not an easy process. It sometimes is really uncomfortable. But there's no better way to get to know how God leads other than trying to follow his leading. You may get it wrong, but God will be with you still. There are some of you who God has been trying to call and lead. And he's trying to been leading, wants to lead you out of slavery, slavery to sin, slavery to the things that hold you back in life. And God is saying, will you follow me? Will you trust me? Will you give your life to me? I'm going to take you to a place where you can know who I am, and I want to give you life through my son, Jesus Christ. There's no better way to grow in faith than to exercise faith. I want to encourage you to put your faith in God and in his son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray this morning. Lord, thank you so much for what you have done. Thank you for the ways that you lead us. I know that many of us struggle with how you lead. But Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see what you're doing and ears to hear your call and help us even when things are and circumstances are arrayed against us to be able to trust in you. Lord, help bring to mind in those times the verse, "The Lord himself will fight for you, just stay calm." Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if good news in the morning has been a factor on your faith journey, we'd love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in our work. So we would encourage you to contact us by Twitter or via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. This program has been aired in memory of Nina Mayorova, and thank you for honoring her memory in this way. This program is on air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can give, we would encourage you to go to the website and do so. Goodnewsinthemorning.ca. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. I'm going to see this morning out by listening to Jody Cross as he sings, "Lead Me, Lord."
as you have laid down yours, an offering of love. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your kindness has shown me this way. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me. Paths that are righteous and holy, help me to follow, not turn aside. As you said, not my will, but your will be done. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your kindness has shown me this way. Worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me each day. I want to die to my sinful pride. Then by your strength I will live. I want to live to follow your word. Then to you praise I will give. Worship you, Jesus. Your kindness has shown me this way. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your kindness has shown me this way. I bow down and worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me each day. Your faithfulness keeps me each day. Your faithfulness keeps me each day.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.